Y'all ever seen me this happy before? That brother sounds disgusting when no one raised their hand to take communion. He said, well, if there's anybody to give, and no one to give either. I was like, man, Brother Brown. Yeah, buckle down. It is such a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. On this evening, I want to... Am I going to be able to preach for laughing? Yes. Yes, I am. The book of Revelation, chapter 21. I thought Brother Malachi had the scripture reading, Brother Glenn. I'm not... there you go. He wasn't going to say nothing to you. Okay? I was just wondering. Brother Malachi hit me up before we left services this morning for the scripture reading. Actually, I asked him, I said, you want it now? You want it to see? He said, give it to me now. He's worse than, where that brother at? He's back there in the back. But he's worse than Brother Denopoulos. You know, he wants those scriptures early, where he can go and read them and he's ready for it. But Revelation chapter 21, I want to talk to you this evening. I'm not going to, the nose in heaven. So much happened to us while we're living this life. Going about our way. So many things comes our way and it brings about some type of way of feeling. And I want you to understand that as we talk about these different things on this evening, the important thing is to realize that once we get to heaven, we don't have to worry about them anymore. Now, if you didn't get that, it's not my fault. It's your fault. Because heaven has been prepared for people that are prepared. Amen. It means each and every day we need to live our lives in a fashion that when we die, come judgment, we can be told, enter in, my good and faithful servant. So this world is not our home. Amen. Our lives does not compare to the life that we will spend, or the time we will spend in eternity. Sister Miller, 92 years old, would have been 93 in April, I believe it was, or May. Long time, long life. But eternity is so much longer, I want you to just think about that for a moment. Brother Randy had given me, and I still have it. I have this either 50 foot or 100 foot. I didn't unroll it to measure it, but it's a rope. And that rope is a brand new rope, matter of fact, brand new. And the length of the rope does not compare, or the end of the rope, shall I say, does not compare to the rest of the rope. There's some red tape on the end of the rope. And that red tape signifies our lives, how short our lives are compared to what eternity is like. We can't even just start to think about how long that is. And if you even try it, you're going to get to the point where you say, I give up. But the best thing for us to do is not give up, but look forward to spending our eternity with our Father in heaven. We can't even think about those things or try to fathom how long that really is. But in Revelation chapter 21, once again, starting with verse 1. Because I want you to understand that no one is going to miss standing before the judgment throne. No one is going to miss that. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Every tear will wipe away from their eyes. I want us to understand, that to have every tear wiped away, it's a great thing. A great thing, because there are things that happen in our lives that cause us to shed tears. But he says he's going to wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Death shall be no more. Why? Because those that have died, those that will be cast into the lake which burns with fire, you don't have to worry about that anymore. You don't have to worry about, oh, when is this person going to die? Oh, when am I going to die? You don't have to worry about it anymore. If you get to heaven, you don't worry about things like that, because there is not going to be any worrying. You need to understand that. Neither shall there be mourning. Lost a loved one. This has happened in my life, and I'm sad about that. You don't have to worry about that in heaven. Nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Pain. How many went home, took a nap, woke up from that nap, and there was some type of pain you had? Or you woke up this morning and there was pain that you had, or you tried to go to sleep last night and you couldn't because you couldn't get comfortable because of the pain that you have in this body. The Bible says that there would be no pain in heaven. No pain. Are you looking forward to that?
Amen.
If not, start looking forward to it. Amen. We'll start out and talk about no death. No death. I'm not going to even ask. I'm just going to go ahead and jump out on the limb here. There are some of you that get the newspaper on a regular basis, and one of the first things you do after you read the headline, you skip over to the obituaries. Why? I don't know. You're looking for your name? You're not going to find it. Well, let me take that back. There was a brother in Texas. He does the same thing. Well, he didn't do it. He got phone calls. Hey, Brother Burns, I heard you died. Well, you're talking to me. Somebody had the same name he had, Charlie Burns Jr. Charlie Burns Jr. died. He got all these phone calls about him dying. He said, well, I'm here. I'm not dead. And he's still living to this day. But there will be no death announcements. Don't have to worry about someone, oh, you know, old sister over here died, old brother over here died, you know, old Jack down the street, he died, old Jim, Sally Sue, all of them died. You don't have to worry about that in heaven. That's what the Bible tells us, is it not? In the book of Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great throne, a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. Then another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each of them according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You don't have to worry about that death announcement, because the Bible says that everyone that has died, they will be raised. Good thing about heaven is this, that those individuals whose name is not in the book of life and they are cast into the lake which burns with fire, we will not hear about that. Isn't that a good thing? I wonder, did such and such make it in? Why? As long as you make it in, that's what's going to be important, that you make it in.
Man.
Because as long as we're living, we can worry about those things. We can be concerned about those things. We can call those people. We can talk to those people about making it to heaven because we are concerned about their souls. But once it's all said and done, once we're judged, if they didn't make it in, you're not going to hear that. It's a good thing. Another good thing. There are some people, and I believe we were talking about this the other day, there are some people that just like to go to funerals. Just love it. Why? I don't know. And then the question is always asked, how was the funeral? You ever heard anybody say, oh, you were the worst thing I ever went to? No, usually, it was pretty good. It was pretty good, you know? There's people that, you know, they were glad to see this person, they were glad to see that person. It's very seldom about the person that has been eulogized. It's very seldom about them. Why? That person is gone. It's all about those that are living now. So how was the funeral? See, there'll be no funerals to go to when we get to heaven. It's a good thing, isn't it? No one have to ask you, how was your funeral, brother? Not worried about that. We're there around the throne worshiping God, not worried about hearing about anybody dying, not worried about going to any funeral. But the Bible does tell us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We don't have to worry about going to any funerals. The Bible tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 6 through 7. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 6 through 7. See, the scriptures is filled with things that we need to understand, things that we need to know, things that we need to consider, because one day, every one of us will die. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 6. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. We will die. The body will go back to the dust of the ground. Once you die, you can't go to any more funerals. Once you get to heaven, you're not going to even think about going to any funeral, because there's not going to be any more death anymore. Jesus wept at the death of Lazarus. We sometimes weep at the death of someone. There are some times when we take death harder about one person than we do another. And that's because of the connection we have with them. Jesus, the Bible doesn't say anything about when Judas went out and hung himself. How did Jesus feel about that? The Bible doesn't tell. But it does tell us that he went when Lazarus was dead and he wept. This was before he said, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus wept at that. Why? Because it's a sad thing to have a loved one to die. Someone that's close to you. It's sad to have them die. And I always mention when I talk about this, about people crying or being saddened because someone has died, that we should be saddened because someone has strayed away from the fold. Because they will not be able to experience what we're going to experience if they don't come back. They are going to understand what death is all about. They are going to understand what sorrow is all about. They are going to understand what pain is all about. Because their mind, their memory is going to be intact. And they're going to know, I should have done something different. But those of us that live according to the way God wants us to, we don't have to worry about those things. You go ahead and read in John chapter 11, verse 1 through 44. And you can see there the account of Jesus raising Lazarus. Verse 35 is the verse that says that Jesus wept. Jesus wept. I believe today it's okay to hear about someone dying and to say that it has sorrowed you to the point that you're going to shed some tears. But you don't have to worry about that when you get to heaven. You don't have to worry about it at all. Jesus, his disciples, they were saddened at his death. At the death of Jesus, they were saddened. You know, it was a time to be sad. It was a time to say, you know, we're going to miss him. We have loved this opportunity that we have had to stay with him, to walk with him, to learn from him. We've enjoyed these times. Now, Jesus was a young man when he died. But I want us to understand that his death was not the end. But it saddened his disciples that he had to die. And we should think the same way, that it should sadden us that he had to die because of the sins of the world, sins that he did not commit. But yet, he didn't stay in the grave. He came out of the grave. And I believe that we need to understand that and think about that in our lives, that we're going to die and we too are going to come out of the grave. And then we think, as we look at this again, that there is not going to be any death in heaven. But also, there's no sickness. There's no sickness. You know, we this is a phone call that we hate to get. Oh, such and such, you know, they're sick and they're in the hospital, and the doctor said they're not going to be able to leave the hospital. That is where they're going to be until the day they die. Now, Then we ourselves, we get sick. We stay up all night long, no matter what the sickness is. You know, it has affected us in a way that we just wish sometimes that we were dead. Why? Because sometimes you're not used to being sick. Now, there are some people that are just sick all the time, and they, you know, when they're well, now we're surprised. But when they're sick, we're not surprised. But there will be no sickness in heaven. That's what the Bible says. You know, when we think about that, no more sickness, it deals with the pain and all those other things, no more suffering. It deals with all of those things. You have to take into account about no sickness. You know, I need a sick day today, I'm calling in, or I can't come to worship today because I'm sick. Or, you know, sometimes what we do is we plan Friday that we're going to be sick on Sunday, or we plan Monday that we're going to be sick on Tuesday, not to go to work or not to come to services on Sunday. So we plan ahead sometimes. But when you get to heaven, you don't have to worry about those things. You don't have to worry about, I need an excuse not to worship around the throne today. It's not going to be such a thing. All suffering and pain in this physical body, it is going to be gone. Don't have to worry about that. Isn't that great? Can you think about it? Can you just imagine that there will be no pain in heaven? Brother Robert, he takes off from work from time to time because his feet or his legs, they're ailing him. From time to time, Anita may say, you know, I'm not going to work today. I don't feel good. But she get up and she go anyway. You know, there's others that, you know, I missed you yesterday. I was sick. Man, you just don't know how sick I was. And then, you know, here's the good thing about, well, it's not really a good thing. But have you ever talked to that person? Now, here's the good part about being in heaven. You ever talk to that person? You tell them what's ailing you, and in turn, they tell you what's ailing them. And then they say, I have this new thing, the doctor said I have this, and they say, it's not new, I have that too. Everything you have, they have. But you know what, we're not going to try to match one another in heaven, because there's not going to be any sickness, there's not going to be any complaining about what's ailing you, because God has fixed all of those things. A new body. A body that will not die. A body that will not have any sickness. The pain of childbirth. She won't have that, ladies. Why? Because you're not going to have any children in heaven. Isn't that a good thing? Yes. The pain of injuries. You know, he fell off his bicycle. He bumped his head. He fell. He was playing baseball. He ran into the base and someone, you know, accidentally tripped him and he broke his leg. This and all these other things. You don't have to worry about that in heaven. There's not going to be any bones to be broken. Flesh and blood shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The pain of old age. Sister Vonnie mentioned this morning about getting old. And when you get old, I don't know why she said old, because young people do it as well. Malachi, do you remember what my whole name is? It's because you never knew it properly. But see, young people forget too. But Sister Vonnie was mentioning older people. You know, we don't have to worry about the pains of old life in heaven, because you have a new body. You don't have to worry about those things. Isn't that great? Amen. What about medication? Sometimes people forget to take their medication. Amen. No medication in heaven. And you know, every time you go to the doctor give you a new pill. You know, every time they give you a new pill, you don't never take away a pill. And so you know what? You come to, you know, you look at those people. I'm just mentioning this now. Some of you may be in this boat, and I'm sorry if you are. Shame on the doctor. But have you ever gone to the doctor? You know, the doctor tell you to bring your medication when you come in. And people have trash bags full of medication. Have you ever seen that? Am I exaggerating? Let's just say it's a trash bag that goes into the bathroom, okay? Have you ever seen anybody with that many medications before? I have. I've seen that. So what Anita and I decided to do when she goes to the doctor, we make sure we got those things written down, because we don't want to be, you know, people looking at, she takes a whole lot of medication. Although she's not taking that much. But I'm just saying, you don't have to worry about that in heaven, taking medication. Did you take your pill today? Did you take your pill at lunch? Did you take your pill at dinner? You don't have to worry about that. Why? Because you don't need any medication in heaven. We have the best doctor, and he's going to take care of all that. No more pain, no more medication, no more suffering from pain, no more disease, no more disease. You know, you hear people always saying right now, because so many people are dying from cancer. I heard this just the other day. When we were little kids, we didn't hear about people dying from cancer. Why? because people did not tell that they had cancer. They were dying from cancer, but they were not telling that they had cancer. But now, this day and age, we hear time and time again, people are dying from cancer, heart failure, AIDS, all these diseases people are dying from that we didn't hear about many years ago. You're not going to hear about that in heaven. Why? Once again, we have new bodies. We have new bodies. Are you looking forward to that day? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. If you're not looking forward to it, you need to start looking forward. Looking forward to that great day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. For we know that if this tent is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may be found naked. For while we were still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. God has given us what we need. All we need to do is accept His word for being truth and live in a way that He is pleased with, and everything else will be okay. No sorrow or sadness in heaven. No sorrow or sadness in heaven. We have some people that may be sad right now for one reason or another. We have some people that are being sorrowed because something has happened in their life or something is going to happen in their life. They're sorrowed by this or they're sadness by this. Again, Revelation 21 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. There will not be those things in heaven. You know, we live in this world, a world of sadness, a world of sorrow, caused by something that we have done. Maybe it's alcoholism. Maybe it's loss. Maybe it's death. Maybe it's disease. Maybe it's health problems. You know where I'm going to? I'm going right back to where we just came from about the pain. But then again, we have to go further. And maybe it's family problems that is sorrowing us, that is saddening us. Family problems. You mean to tell me that our children sometimes can give us problems? Or have us to be sad about some things, or cause sorrow to come into our homes or into our minds? Yes, family can do that. Children can do it to their parents. Spouses can do it to one another. But we're not going to have that problem in heaven. We're not going to have that problem. And you know, this happened from the very beginning. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, it happened in the very beginning. There was sadness and sorrow because man did not do what God told him to do. The old devil, he beguiled Eve, and Eve saw that the tree was good for food, good to the eyes, and good to eat. And what did she do? She took of it, and she also gave it to her husband, and he took of it as well. Now the sadness and the sorrow began in their lives. They had disobeyed what God wanted them to do, how God wanted them to live. And that's exactly what I named there, alcoholism. It is a sin that God does not want us to participate in, but it causes sadness. It's a depressant. You know, people say, oh, man, I got problems, so I'm going to give me a drink. You know what's going to happen when you finish that drink? That problem is still going to be there. Man. And not only there, but it possibly may be multiplied. Because now you have another problem. Law stops you, you get pulled over. What's wrong? What have you been doing? I've been drinking. Why? Oh, man, you just don't know. I've lost this. I've lost that. My friend died over here and this, that, and the other. My children just not acting right. My wife is not acting right. My husband is not acting right. Well, you know what? That law is going to tell you, I'm not acting right either, because I'm going to write you a ticket. You know what people want to have a tendency to say? He's a jerk. You know who the jerk is? The person that's doing something that they should not do. But we're not going to have this problem in heaven. You're not going to be able to lay the blame on anybody else like Adam and Eve did. You're going to have to accept blame for no one, because where are you going to be? You're going to be in heaven. You're going to be in heaven. We need to understand that. No grumblers or complainers. You mean to tell me there's a place like that? That place is called heaven. No grumblers or complainers? Do you ever get tired of listening to people grumble? You ever get tired of listening to people complain? People do it all the time. You may not be aware of that because you are one of them. It's not right, is it? It's not right. Let's not complain. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. Now, I like to be around positive people. I like to be around people that are uplifting. I like to be around people that's willing to edify you. But here we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about the children of Israel. Let's start with verse 6. Now these things took place as examples for us that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters or idolaters as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. We must not, the Bible says, do these things up on this earth so that we can be in heaven where we don't have to worry about anybody else doing them. We must be content. That's what we need to understand. We must be content in order to get to heaven where there would be a place of no grumbling or complainers. In Philippians chapter 4, the verse is 11. Philippians chapter 4 and the verse is 11. As Paul writes to the church of Philippi here, we should go back up to verse 10. For Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. But you know what we do? We're not happy with what we have, so therefore we complain and we grumble about those things. But Paul said, I've learned, no matter what I'm going through, to be content. Can we do that? Can we learn how to be content, whatever we have, whatever we're going through? Can we be content? The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 19, but I'm not going to read verse 19. I'm going to skip all the way down to the favorite verse that I always like to quote in verse 33. And we can learn how not to complain, how to be content. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't have to worry about complaining because what? We are worshiping God the way we're supposed to, and he is taking care of us. No complaint department. No one is going to listen to it because there's not going to be any there. Isn't that good? Isn't that? I believe we need to take that in consideration. Guess who else, or guess what else is not going to be in heaven? There's not going to be any fools there. Not one fool is going to be in heaven. Why? Because the Bible says the fool says in his heart that there's no God. Do you think that God is going to allow someone to come into heaven that says that he does not exist? It's not going to happen. And there are many foolish people on this earth. We need to understand that right now. Many foolish people are up on this earth. In the book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 verses 1, 2, and 3. The Galatians had obeyed the gospel. But Paul says here in verse 1 of Galatians chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? How did you receive the Spirit of the law? Are you so foolish? Have you begun by the Spirit and you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was vain, does he who supplied the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Oh, those people that became fools, die in their sin, they are not going to get into heaven. So you can rest assured that there will be no fools in heaven. Isn't that a good thing? Now here's the question. How many foolish things have we done? How many foolish things have we done to cause us to fall short of the glory of God? And if we continue to do those things, we're just as foolish as the Galatians here. We will not get into heaven, so let's be very careful about what we're doing and how we're living to make sure that our life is unspotted from the world. That once we die and we're standing before the judgment throne on that great day, that we do not hear, depart from me, but enter in, my good and faithful servant. Those who hear the word of God and do not obey it, those are foolish. Those who hear and obey, those are the wise ones. And let us be wise and not foolish. Let us be wise and not foolish. No sinners, no evil people will be in heaven. Not a one. Not a one will be there. Only the faithful will be in heaven. Revelation 21 and the verse is 27. Revelation 21 and the verse is 27. I believe when we look at these scriptures and we understand that God's word is so clear, that we need to live our life in a fashion that he can say, that is my servant right there. He understands what he must do. He understands what heaven is all about, and he understands what hell is all about. And I am glad to say that one day I will be able to say to him or her, enter in, my good and faithful servant. Revelation 21, verse 27, but nothing unclean will enter in it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Only those whose name is written in the Lamb's book of life will be able to enter into heaven. The fool would say, don't put my name in that book. He don't have to worry about saying that, because he's already denied that there is a living God. So we must do what is right. We must do what is right. And you know what happens? Temptation many times causes us to fall short. There will be no temptations in heaven. No temptations at all in heaven. We're tempted on this earth with many things, but no temptation in heaven, because we will be doing what we have lived to do. What we'll live for, what we'll hope for, what we've had faith in. We'll be able to do that, and that is worship God around the throne. But a great thing. There will be no escape from heaven. Who would want to escape from heaven? You have the luxuries of this life. You have everything that God has promised you. You have everything on this life and which will get you through this day, the next day. And if we live to see this life 50 years from now, we'll still be set. Who would want to escape from something like that? That's heaven. You have all you need, and that is God and you being around the throne. That is great. That's great. We need to look forward to that day. That day. Why do I keep saying that day? Because there will be no night there. No night whatsoever. It's all going to be day, a glorious day that will never end. No desire to leave. No Satan nor his angels to tempt us to do anything wrong. Are you ready for that great day? We sing that song, there's a great day coming, there's a great day coming. Do you believe that there's a great day coming? If not, you need to start believing it right now. Maybe you're here this evening, you're not a child of God. You understand that one day you will die. You understand that after death is the judgment. You understand only there are two places you can spend your eternity, either in hell or heaven. Which do you want? Which do you want? A place where there will be no pain, where there will be no sorrow, where there will be no death, where there will be no tears, where there will be no crying, where everything will be hallelujah, standing around the throne worshiping God. Is that the type of place you want? Or do you want to go to the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth? As Brother Randy would say, all these verses that you're reading, they have it all wrong, where your worm will never die. Where the things in which you knew to be right, where they will always be there eating at you, and you trying to make up in your mind, why did I not do what is right? You can't change those things in hell. Can't change those things in hell. So let's make up in our minds right now to live for God. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you want to become one, come. Make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be baptized. Added to the body of Christ by the Lord himself. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Praising God and having faith with all the people. Let Lord ask to the church daily such as should be saved. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. We're asking you to come back. We're asking you to come back before it is too late. If you're hearing your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.